So glad to be able to share with you the Word of God again today. Such a privilege always to open the Bible and to study and to hear what God has to say to us. So if you will open your Bibles today to Ephesians chapter 1, we'll be looking again at verses 7 through 12. We looked at verse 7 last week. I'm hoping to get through 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12 today. Or at least through 10. All right. Today, really, in the first chapter of Ephesians, we will be examining a great question with which men wrestle in our day, just as they have all throughout history. The question is whether or not there is a purpose in the universe. Do the events of history make any sense? Is the record of human events, with its tragedy and its happiness, with its misery and its heartaches, and the good things and the bad things, the blessings and the joy, is it all for a purpose? Is it moving towards some goal? Or is life, as Shakespeare had Hamlet describe it, a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing? Well, there are people today who say that's a true description of what life is all about. There are people who today who agree with Hamlet. There are many voices that say that, you know, there's no purpose in the universe. And many of them are very respected voices. You know, you have historians and scientists and others who look at life around us, at the human story, and say, there's no plan that's evident here. No purpose discernible through all this strange mixture of history. The French writer André Maurois said this: "The universe is indifferent. Who created it? Why are we here upon this puny mud heap spinning in infinite space? I have not the slightest idea, and I am quite convinced that no one else has the least idea." And there are a lot of people that feel that way. Maybe you know some folks like that. That just feel like, you know, that we're all just here as a random act of the universe. There's no purpose to it. But what we find today in the book of Ephesians, that Paul disagrees violently with that thought. We started a couple weeks ago in this letter to the Ephesians, looking at Paul's great, what I call the doxology of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. And this whole statement, which is all one sentence as you go down through that section, it cuts right across the thinking of men in Paul's day, and really also of many people in our day. Remember that we found the answer to the search for personal meaning and identity in what Paul says about the work of the Father. We said that Paul says that God the Father chose us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. We said that God predestinist, that is, He destined us beforehand to be adopted as His children, as sons, because of what He's done in Jesus Christ. God has a purpose, so much so that He started it before the whole world was even put in place. And He has that purpose for your life. Remember that we began looking at the work of the Son last week, and we found the answer to the problem of sin and guilt. And that was that we have a redemptive pardon through Jesus Christ We are redeemed. We are bought out of slavery to sin, and we are freed by the blood of Jesus Christ, which means we've been forgiven and given the riches of God's grace that He made to abound towards us. Wonderful blessings that we have in God. A wonderful purpose that God has for us in Christ. Well, now, as we come to the problem of history, from verse 9 through 12, we have this, in this one vast, glorious statement, the apostle deals with the purpose of the universe. See, you want to know what it is? We're going to get it today. Let's start reading in verse 7. In Him, that is in Christ, in the Beloved, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. Father, as we open Your Word today, we ask that You teach us, that You'd speak to our hearts. God, that You would show us Your great purpose for this world and how we are included in that when we trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord, as our Savior, having our sins forgiven and given that gift of eternal life. So, Father, teach us today by Your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, not only have we been given a redemptive pardon by Jesus Christ through His blood that He shed on the cross for us, by the riches of God's grace, as we said last week, but God has also given us a revealed perspective about the world. In Christ, God has given us a new outlook, a new perspective to see God's purpose for the whole world. We have a new perspective that is given by revelation of God. And so, He says at the end, if you pick up in verse 8, He says, which He made to abound towards us, that is His grace He made to abound toward us, in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. How do we receive this revelation, this revealed perspective from God on what the world is all about? Well, He says that we receive it in all wisdom and prudence there at the end of verse 8. These words are very interesting. The word wisdom is the Greek word sophia. It has to do with an understanding of the eternal truths of life. Wisdom has to do with coming to an understanding of things like the existence of God, the purpose of the universe, heaven and hell, time and eternity, all have to do with wisdom. God gives believers in Jesus Christ a special kind of understanding of ultimate things. Believers see subjects like life and death, like God and man, like righteousness and sin. We see those things differently than unbelievers see those things. We think differently than others because God has revealed this wisdom to us in Jesus Christ. On the other hand, prudence, the word there, some of your translations have the word understanding there or insight. This has to do with just practical understanding, dealing with the everyday problems of life. And so we could say this, that this prudence or understanding or insight is really what happens when we apply the wisdom that God gives us about all of the eternal truths of the universe that He has for us in His Word. As we take the wisdom of God and we apply it, that becomes the insight to know how we should live. And so, when your mind is filled with the Word of God, and your life is filled with the things of God, you have a different worldview. Is it any wonder that those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, when we watch some things on the television, or read certain things in the newspaper, or see some of the things that are coming out of the media and the things that co-workers say to us, or even unbelievers that are family members say to us, we look at them and just scratch our heads and say, "Are you crazy?" You know, that's not what life is about. And we because we have this understanding from God, this wisdom from Him, to know what life is really all about, and when people don't get it, it almost perplexes us because we have a different worldview. We have a revealed perspective from Jesus Christ. God gives believers understanding that unbelievers will never know. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 says this. 1 Corinthians 2, 14 and 15. It says, but the natural, that is, the natural man, he says, that means the unsaved, the unbeliever, the one who's not come to Jesus Christ for salvation. The natural man, he says, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things. You see, the natural man, even before I came to Christ for salvation, you know, I could look into the things of the Bible. I could look into the truths that people who were believers knew and understood and tried to teach me. And you know, I might get a little bit of it, but it really didn't sink down into my life and make a difference in the way that I lived until I trusted Jesus. And I became, instead of a natural man, I became a spiritual man, where the Spirit of God lived in me, and the Spirit of God was renewing my mind through the Word of God, and then He begins to teach me these things. I go, yes, that's right. And you begin to recognize the truth. And you say, how could I have been so deceived? How could I have been so foolish? You know, where before I looked at, before I was a Christian, you'd look at some of the things these Christians did. Well, they didn't do this and they didn't do that. And you thought that they were just, you know, a bunch of fuddy-duddies who were just all out to make sure nobody had any fun. And people looked at that and said, you know, those Christians, they just are foolish. They're just living life like that and you know, trying to do all these good things when they could be having fun like the rest of us. What I found out was it's a whole lot more fun to be a Christian. It is. It's a whole lot more joy. I don't really need fun. What I really need is joy. And that's what God gives through His Son, Jesus Christ. He gives us that purpose in life. That He shows us the purpose of the universe and how we fit into that. And because of that, it fills me with such joy when I give glory to God. That's what life is all about. But the natural man does not understand that. It's foolishness to him. And God has given these characteristics of revelation of knowledge to us in order, he says in the next verse, verse 9, so that we may understand the mystery of His will. The mystery of His will. Well, what's the mystery of God's will? The mystery, by the way, is not mysterious. It's not something that cannot be known. It is something that cannot be known apart from God revealing it to us. A mystery is something that must be revealed by God in order to be known by people. the way that the New Testament writers use that term mystery refers to something that was hidden in the past, but now God has opened up to us in Jesus Christ. As Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 26, he says this has to do with the Word of God, which it says the mystery that has been hidden in age from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to His saints. See, that's what a mystery is. And as Derek read that scripture earlier, it said the same thing. The mystery that had been, you know, kept with God for all these ages, but now in Jesus Christ, it has been revealed. This mystery is not something we can't know, but something that God shows us. The only way we can know it is that He revealed it. The mystery of His will. And what is the mystery of His will? Well, He says it down. He says there, He says that had been that He would gather together in one all things in Christ. The mystery of His will is simply this. What is God's purpose of His will? What is this thing that He has revealed to us that had been kept hidden for ages past? That all things... What does He mean by all? He means all, okay? Because, in fact, He qualifies it. He says, things in heaven and things on earth. That's everything, okay? So He says, all things, He says, gathered together in one in Christ. That's His purpose. So now, whenever anybody asks you, what's the purpose of the universe? Here it is, that God would gather together in one all things in Christ. Pretty simple, right? That's it. That's the whole purpose for which God created the world. That's the purpose for which He redeemed us in Christ. That's why He chose us before the foundation of the world. That's why He adopted us in Christ. That's why He forgave our sins. That's why Jesus died on the cross. All of those things, God was working His purpose to bring all things together in one in Christ. His great purpose. Christ is the center of all of God's purposes in the universe. That's God's goal for everything. His desire is to sum up. That's what the word to gather together means. It's only used one other time in the New Testament, that word. It's used where it says that all things, talking about all the different commandments of God, all the different commandments of God are summed up in this one, love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, all the commandments of God, you gather them all up together and you boil it down to the one essential thing. And He says, that's what it is. The same way here. He says we're to gather together all things, He says He's going to, in Jesus Christ, in one. Christ is the center of God's purposes for all things. What does that mean? It means Christ is the center of God's purpose for you. And for me. And for your children. And for your brother, and for your sister, and for your neighbor, and for the person on the other side of the world. God's purpose for everyone is to bring them into Christ. He is why everything is in this world. You know, Paul is going to say in the book of Colossians that through Christ, he says, in Christ, He created, through Him, He created all things by Him and for Him. And in Him, all things consist. Jesus Christ is the whole sum of the universe. God will gather all things together under the headship of Christ. And that's a mystery with which we have been entrusted. God revealed it to His apostles and prophets, and He has given it to us in His Word. And we are stewards of the mysteries of God. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. He talks about us being stewards of the mysteries of God. He has entrusted those things to us. We have a responsibility to, one, understand this mystery, the mysteries of God, and two, to share them. God has given us this mystery as a stewardship, something that we're to take care of. And the way we take care of it is, one, we understand it by getting into God's Word and understanding what He has to teach us, and then sharing it with others. Christ is the sum of all things, and everything we need is found in Him. Finally, we see that God has not only given us a redemptive pardon and a revealed perspective in Christ, He has also given us a rich provision in Him. Look at verses 11 and 12. He says, "In Him we also have obtained an inheritance." In the Bible, when it will speak of a future event using the past tense. And that's what He does here. He talks about our inheritance in Christ, something that we will receive in the future, but He talks about it as if we've already received it. He says, we have obtained an inheritance. And oftentimes when the Bible does that, when it speaks about a future event in the past tense, it's the Bible's way of saying that this is certain, that God has made it sure. He has ensured it. That our inheritance is so secure that He could speak about it in the past tense. We have obtained an inheritance. The inheritance is already ours because we belong to Jesus Christ. Because we are in Him and He is in us. Before God created anything, He predestined every believer to receive an inheritance in Christ. You know, in Jesus' parable of the sheep-goat judgment in Matthew chapter 25, He says, when the Son of Man comes in all of His glory and all of His angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory, and He will call the nations to Himself, and He will separate the peoples as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And the sheep He will put on His right, and the goats He will put on His left. And He will say to those on His right, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Before God ever put the heavens and the earth in place, God had predestined every believer in Jesus Christ to receive an inheritance in Him, a kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. Just think about this. It took God how many days to create this heavens and earth that we see, this physical world? 6 days. He rested on the seventh, right? If God started preparing our true kingdom, the spiritual kingdom of Jesus Christ, from the foundation of the world, before He ever started those 6 days, God started preparing that. And He's been working on it ever since. Can you imagine how much greater it's going to be than what we have here? This can't even begin to compare. The inheritance that we have in Jesus Christ. This predetermined inheritance of all of our Father's wealth is according, it says here, according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. God wants and God wills to give us all things. The Bible clearly indicates that God has made generous promises to us. You can read all of the great promises God has made in His Word. In fact, 2 Peter 1:4 says that God has given us exceedingly great and precious promises. This inheritance that we have obtained is found in God's Word. In all of these promises that He's given us in Christ. But these promises are not like the promises that we make to one another. You know, we're coming up on an election cycle again, and all the politicians are going to be standing up and making all kinds of promises. Most of which they won't be able to keep. Right? God's not like that. When He makes a promise, He keeps His promise. When God promises us something, He always comes through. And how does He come through? He comes through in Jesus Christ. How does He do that? In 2 Corinthians 1:20, it says this, "For all the promises of God are in Him, in Christ. Yes, and in Him, amen. To the glory of God through us." Did you hear that? Every promise that we have from God is yes in Jesus Christ, is amen in Jesus Christ, that God would be glorified through us. That's what it's all about. In other words, you know, God's promises never fail because Jesus never fails. We've already seen that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ from verse 3. That's why it says we've obtained this inheritance. God has already given us this inheritance in Christ. He's already begun fulfilling His promises to us in Christ. We are already recipients of the riches of God's blessings in our lives. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17 says this, "The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." Children of God, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ. What more could we ask for? This is the rich inheritance we have in Christ. It's an inheritance that we've received according to the purpose of His will and the counsel of His will. In other words, it's by God's choice that we've received this inheritance. It's an inheritance that has a purpose. The purpose is, in verse 10 or verse 12, he says that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. Then he goes on to talk of those who, like us, who were the next to believe in Christ. And when you get down to the end of verse 14, we're also to be to the praise of His glory. Not just those who first trusted in Christ, but all of us. The whole purpose in God doing all of this together and bringing all things together in Christ is that we would be to the praise of His glory. To the praise of His glory. What does that mean in practical terms? Well, that means that you and I must not complain any longer about what life hands us. God's got a purpose in it. Doesn't He? And His purpose in it is to bring you and everything else together in Christ. That you would bring glory to Him. It's the Father who has chosen us. And it is the Father who has adopted us. And it is Jesus Christ who has paid for our sins. And He's done all of that to bring us to the place where we would live lives that bring glory to Him through Jesus Christ. And so if God allows problems in your life, why does He do that? in order that the hurt and the headache and the suffering and the joy and the blessing and the riches, whatever they may be, all of them could be that the glory of Jesus Christ would be released through our lives so that others could see what a great God we have. As we make ourselves available to God through Jesus Christ, moment by moment, in the shop, in the office, at home, in the backyard, wherever you are. As we respond in joy and love and acceptance to the situation that God has put us in, God is glorified. Christ receives His inheritance. We are His inheritance. And He finds the riches of delight and enjoyment in having us be a part of God's inheritance. The old is torn down, the new is put in place, and all things are brought together in Christ. You know, I don't fully understand how all of that works, but I know it works. God is working. He's working in my life to do just that. Is He working in your life that way? Is that it your experience with God? Is that how He's working? If not, if you don't see the purpose in all of these things, if you don't see that your life is to be a display of the glory of God, if you don't have that wisdom that God gives, so that you begin to understand the eternal truths that He shows us in His Word, if you don't have that insight to know how to walk in this life, living it in step by step with Jesus, then you may not be in Christ. You may not have salvation, that redemption, that forgiveness of sins. Maybe today's the day you need to make sure of that. Because He does have a great purpose for you, for all of us in Christ. And let me tell you, there's such great joy in living that out to the glory of God. Let's stand together as we pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for teaching us today. We pray, Lord, that during this time of invitation, that if there is someone here today not sure if they're in Christ, not sure that their sins are forgiven, that they have been freed from the bondage of this world and of sin and of flesh and of the devil, that they've not been taken from death to life in Jesus. If they're not sure, I prayed God today that they would make sure, that they would come and ask the right questions and make a decision to trust Jesus. And Father, I pray for those of us who are Christians that have been working through our days complaining or wondering, why am I stuck in this situation and what's this all about, that we would begin to trust You for all of those things, just like we trusted You for salvation. That we just gave up and surrendered and found out that life with You is better than anything without You. And so, Lord, work that truth in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen.